Hey everyone, Brendan here from LegalSites.com.au, and you're listening to the Better Law Firm Marketing Podcast. In this episode, I'll give you some advice for how you can remove a bad Google review. I actually posted about this on LinkedIn recently. I'll sound like an influencer, but I do get asked this question quite often. Unfortunately, a lot of law firms out there do become the victim of unfair, negative Google reviews, and they reach out to me and they ask me how they can possibly get the thing removed. So here's my advice. Let's dive right in. First thing I think you should do is log into your Google Business profile. It used to be called Google My Business. Google's always changing the names of their products. It's a lot of fun, isn't it? So first point is to log into your Google Business profile and reply to the review. Now, it could take some time to negotiate the removal of the review. It might take some time for that person to reply to your phone calls or emails. I don't think you want to waste any time. I think you want to reply to it quickly. Now, too many law firms take the aggressive approach where they say, oh, we don't know who you are. You know, this review is irrelevant. You're never a client. Have no idea who you are. Don't care. Everyone ignore it. Now, that might be true. It might just be a random. It might be even a competitor, but potentially a competitor who's created a fake profile and they want to hurt you. All those things are possible. But it's just going to make you look bad if you reply to a review to the review with that attitude. As irritating as some of these reviews can be, please bite your lip and reply with concern, with empathy. I think you need to respectfully explain the situation in your reply so other people can understand what really happened and make it clear that you have tried to resolve the issue. Because potential clients could be reading your reply to a negative review. I don't expect you to reply to every single review you get, especially if you're getting quite a few, but if you get a negative one, definitely reply to it, all right? It can look really bad. You've probably looked at businesses before, like, I don't know, like accommodation, cafes, bars. Maybe they get a few bad reviews and they ignore them. Now, that can actually just make things, it just kind of looks like the business doesn't really care, all right? So show concern, respectfully explain the situation so other people can read it and make it clear that you've tried to resolve the issue. Fortunately, once you've replied, the person who's made the review can't then reply again, as far as I'm aware. Maybe that'll change, but there you go. So you've got to reply, okay, because people might be reading it. Now, point number two, you've replied and the next thing you need to do is flag the review. All right, you've got to be logged into your Google Business profile to do that. Now, Google's got guidelines for, you know, removing reviews. They've got like policy or whatever. So there's a number of reasons why a review might violate their guidelines for, you know, reviewing businesses, reviewing profiles. And they might remove the review. So if someone's using, you know, bad language, or they're being racist, or there's a number of different reasons. And one of them, probably the most commonly used one is, I think it's called off topic. Now, if the person who left the review was not technically a client, it doesn't mean that it's off topic. I think last time I read it, they just need to have had some sort of experience with the business. Now, let's think about this. The bigger picture, how on earth would Google ever be able to prove if someone was a client or not? Yeah, okay, you know, they could contact law firms and the law firms could provide compelling evidence that person was never a client. But that's just not practical. Google is managing a lot of different people who are flagging reviews and want reviews moved, and they can't realistically go through and establish whether or not these reviews are left by people who have had a real experience with the business. It's just not practical. All right. So if you get a review from someone who was never a client and possibly even a competitor, total random, it's very unlikely that that review will get removed. Okay. If that person has used foul language, if they've said something racist, if they've fulfilled any of the other guidelines for removing a review, then yeah, Google might remove it. And I have seen businesses get this done successfully. But that leads me on to number three. Here's the thing. If it doesn't violate the whatever they are, the guidelines, it's very unlikely Google's going to remove it, even if you contact their support, which is incredibly difficult to do. They really don't want you contacting them. Surprise, surprise. So number three, it's probably unlikely you got Google to remove it. That's why it's really important to negotiate with the person who left the review to basically compel them or reason with them to remove the review. This is really your best chance of getting the review removed, is to deal with the person who actually left the review. I really, not trying to talk down anyone here, but, you know, do your best to approach this with concern and empathy, okay, to really reason with this person. That they might just want to feel like they've been heard. They might want an apology, okay? If you can just, you know, maybe you've got nothing to apologize for, but if you can get the review removed, why not, okay? So this person, hopefully you can reason with them and they will remove it. Let's hope so. Now, if they refuse to remove the review, you could always consider other avenues. This is my fourth point or piece of advice for today. Okay, so let's just assume that they could not be reasoned with. You could try other avenues, like the maybe flagging the possibility of legal action. Now, be careful, and this could be a risky approach. And definitely, I'm not advising anyone out there to take legal action. But as always, weigh up the pros and the cons. Because let's be real, in most cases, it's probably not worth the trouble, okay, pursuing, you know, defamation, or if you're in America, that might be libel. It's probably not worth it, especially just for one review. Okay, it all depends. If it's really damaging your business, possibly. Okay, I'm not advising you to take legal action. There could be other means of negotiation that you could come up with, but let's just, I'm just going to drum the, what's the word? I don't know. I'm just going to be really clear. The best course of action for getting a review removed is to reason with the person who left the review. All right. Now, let's just assume that all of your efforts have failed. Okay. My fifth point today is, if all else fails, you might have to just live with it. You might have a bad review for your business. It's an unfortunate part of running a business these days, but either way, just do your best to dilute that annoying, terrible review with really, really good reviews, okay? Most reasonable people know that a lot of one-star bad reviews on Google are often bullshit and they can't be trusted, okay? And you're probably looking for reasonable people to be your clients, yeah? So you might have to live with it. The chances that your business will go belly up are pretty slim based on one review. Okay, if anything, the impact of that review it's probably going to be negligible. A lot of law firms, small law firms, medium-sized law firms will usually have a bad review. It's becoming increasingly common these days, especially as your business grows and you know you attract more inquiries, more clients. Chances of you getting a bad review, maybe from an opposing party, someone who's not happy with you. You know, you might represent a client and the client's so happy with you because you got them the result they wanted. That might mean that the opposing party did not get the result they wanted and they might leave you a review. I've seen that many times before, okay? And unfortunately, I've seen law firms that don't reply to those negative reviews, or they reply aggressively without much empathy or concern, and it just ends up making it look even worse, okay? So I'm just going to go through these points again. So we've gone through 5 points for removing a bad review. First of all, reply. Okay, show concern, explain the situation respectfully so other people can actually get an idea of what happened if they really want to know, and make it clear that you're trying to resolve it. All right, the way you deal with unhappy clients and conflict and bad feedback says a lot about your business and your values. Number two is to log into your business profile, okay, Google Business Profile, and flag the review. There are a number of reasons why it might be why it might violate Google's guidelines, and find the most appropriate. All right, if it doesn't fulfill one of those guidelines, Google's probably not going to remove it. Now, number three, negotiate with that person who left the review to remove it. Be as empathetic as possible. Make sure they feel heard and hopefully they will see reason. Number four, if they do not see reason, consider other avenues. I'll leave that with you. Now, number five, if all else fails and it's just not worth the hassle anymore, just live with it. The impact of a bad review on your business will probably be negligible unless you only have one review and it's a bad review. Okay, I have seen that before. So get as many good reviews as possible. Little tip, I'm noticing some law firms are requesting Google reviews after the first consultation, and that's working really well for them. Arguably because that's when that person is actually feeling the most optimistic and the most happy. A lot of people will pursue a legal matter, and they might not get the outcome that they were really hoping in the end. It might cost them more money than they were hoping. And when the whole thing's finalized, they might not be really in the mood to leave you a good review, even if you've done the best that you possibly could for that person. Okay, so there's a little tip. See how that goes. That's it. I hope that's helped. I've actually been doing my podcast sitting in my car. So my car's currently parked in my garage, and I'm in my car. Obviously, I just said that. Why do I keep saying that? But I'm doing it on my iPhone. The bloody voice memo quality on iPhones these days is so good. I think so anyway. So, you know, yes, I've got a fancy microphone, but it's just sitting in the home office. Haven't been using it for a bit. But the acoustics in the car when it's parked with all the windows up and everything, it's really good. There's actually, like, whenever I want to do anything that requires me filming a video, you know, anything that requires audio, one of my neighbors needs to mow their lawn. Or a dog barks. Now, I love dogs. I just wish they wouldn't bark when I'm trying to film something. But this whole time, a neighbor of mine's been mowing the lawn. I'm pretty sure you can't hear it. I hope not. Little tip for anyone who wants to start a podcast, there is no need, in my opinion, to spend heaps of money on a fancy studio and a producer. And, you know, if you just want to do solo episodes where you provide advice, you could possibly just do it in your car, okay? It's really hard to get good acoustics in a home office, in a house. You know, my house is floorboards and every single room sounds like a bloody echo chamber. So I'm just doing it in my car. And also no one can interrupt me. It's great. So there you go. Look, this episode's just full of advice, isn't it? So as usual, please consider supporting this podcast. If you enjoy the content, 5-star reviews are always great. Apple Podcasts and Spotify allows you to leave 5-star reviews. I don't know if you can leave a written review on Spotify, but you can definitely give a star rating. Please share the podcast around with anyone you think would enjoy it. The business that I run is legalsites.com.au. If you want to become a client, just visit the website, get in touch. I also do paid coaching calls. The main services we do is web design, web hosting, SEO, consulting, and Google Ads. You can find us on social media, Instagram. You can, there's a bit of TikTok. I haven't been doing TikTok for a while. I've just been super busy with clients. I'm fairly active on LinkedIn. You can find me there, Brendan Kelso. So many options, really, today. What else can I tell you? There's always the law firm marketing plan. If you haven't got that yet, grab that at the website, legalsites.com.au. It's a free PDF download. You'll also be added to my email list. You can unsubscribe at any time. Super easy. But if you stay on the email list, then you'll get regular emails from me, usually once a week, sometimes not even that. Just got a lot going on. But that's it. Brendan Kelso, legalsites.com.au. You've been listening to the Better Law Firm Marketing Podcast. Hope you have a great day and have a great week. Thanks. Bye.